Hello, friends. I'm Brian Peart, and I want to welcome you to the Great Awareness Podcast, a podcast focused on helping Christians make sense of this world we are in. The goal is to encourage, but never at the expense of truth. We will take the truth found in Scripture and apply it to the real spiritual battles going on today. We will ignore preconceived beliefs, news media noise, and politicians' words, and look at actions, what is really going on. Then use the truth of Scripture to accurately discern the times and how we need to respond. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is what we are going to attempt to do with each podcast. Get to the truth so we can live as we've been called. I'm Brian Peart. I've got a very important message today to share with you, but first, a little bit about who I am. I am a Christian, so I look at things through a Christian worldview. I'm also a commercial mortgage broker nationwide, and I talk to probably 100 people a day around the country, and I'm inquisitive. I ask questions, and I hear things, and then I funnel them through my own channels to try to make decisions. I ask the hard questions: who, what, why, when, where, because I'm a critical thinker. Something unique to me is about 3 years ago, I stopped watching the news media outlets altogether. I haven't watched a news channel on TV in almost 3 years. I am not on any feeds. I don't get little feeds, whether it's for the right or for the left, no reels, anything like that. So, and I did that because I wanted to be free to look at the events that are happening in our world right now without bias, and to try to see and ask those questions: what's going on, what, why, where. And what I'm finding is there's a very serious situation we've got going on in here in America, and I want to take a minute and just share with you, whether you're on the right side or the left side, what you're getting fed is propaganda. Okay, you are being indoctrinated into a thought process regardless of what side you're on. And so the only way to really be free from that is to just completely debunk of it altogether, which is what I've done. The next thing people might ask is, hey, you know, well, then you don't know what's going on. And actually, that's not true. Take the Trump assassination attempt for an example, okay? I was actually preaching at the time that Trump actually got shot, and my phone was in my car. So I didn't know about it until I got to the car. But when I got to my car, there were 3 calls from my son. There were texts all over the place: did Trump get shot? And I called my son and I got the down low. And then me and my friend went to dinner because I wasn't gonna watch the news. I wasn't gonna hear different people's spin on it. But I can use my critical thinking hat. Someone walked in, got close enough to take a shot at the president. That's an assassination attempt. No matter how you call it, it's an assassination attempt. Literally a shot on the president or ex-president and president, you know, trying to be president again. So all I need to know about that is this situation, this civil war we've got brewing here in America between one side and the left, is getting to the point where it's so critical to win that we're willing to go to violence for it, okay? That's a bad thing. The other thing that I thought about as we were sitting there at dinner talking about it is, you know, you can't even get a gun into a Taylor Swift concert. And those are local yokel security guys. So how did a guy, I don't know who he is, if he's really the guy they say, I don't know how it is, but how can you get into, with Secret Service people all around, get a gun into something like that close enough to then take a shot? Someone had to help him from the inside. Okay, I don't know whether it's the right, the left. I don't know if whether it's China. All I know is he had help. There's no way he got past all those people. Okay, all those top security, the best of the best in the world. Secret Service, CIA ops, there's no way he got past it. Just a local yoga dude without help from the inside. So that's, again, another kind of scary thing. So I know what's going on. I didn't need to watch any videos, spend hours of watching reels to figure that out just from asking simple questions. How? There's no way, okay? And that's kind of what we're gonna do here. We're gonna take at what's actually happening, and I beg of you to put off your your hat, whether it's Republican, whether it's Democrat, and just to try to listen to the eyewitness things that I'm going to share and the analysis as you sit there and look at it. And I want you to ask yourself, does this make sense? Is anything that he's saying make sense? And please understand this. I've got a successful business. A lot of what I'm sharing, I don't want to hear. I don't want to be sharing it because I don't want it to be true. No one would be happier if what I'm about to share doesn't happen than me. I don't have an agenda. I'm not here to make money off of this. I'm not going to accept, you know, ads. I just want to share what I'm seeing to warn people, because humans have an amazing ability to handle almost anything if they're ready for it. Okay, God made us that way, but when we get blindsided, that's when fear, panic, and everything takes over, and it goes the wrong way. And so I'm sharing this to prepare you just in case. I hope I'm wrong with everything I'm about to share, but I want you to look at it with open eyes and listen and see if you see any truth or anything that's in here. The first thing to understand is that we are in World War III. No, the news media isn't talking about it. They're not saying this is a world war, but it is indeed a world war. The similarities between World War III, what we're in right now, and World War II are stunning, okay? Hitler attacked Poland because Poland had once been part of Germany, okay? Putin attacked Ukraine. Ukraine had once been part of Russia, all right? The First World War was 4 years. The second was six. I think the third is going to be eight. I think it started when Putin attacked Ukraine, and it's going to go to 2030. 2030 is an important date, okay? There's a lot of things that are hinging on 2030. In the next few videos we do, we're going to talk about the end times and spiritual, and you'll see how these dates are really important. But for now, understand that just like the war wasn't ending with Hitler, they weren't calling it a world war in World War II until after Pearl Harbor got attacked, okay? Then it became a world war, and they pinned the start date back to when Hitler attacked Poland. Same thing here. And that attack happened about a third of the way in. It was a six-year war, and it was 2 years in. This is an eight-year war. The one-third of the way in is going to be the next quarter, maybe the first 2 months of 2025. Over the next 6 months, I believe something's going to happen in the east, whether it's China attacking Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, or even an attack on America. And before you say that's impossible, listen to some of the things that I'm about to share, okay? But something's gonna happen, and then everyone's gonna acknowledge it's a world war. But indeed, it is a world war. The war between Russia and Ukraine is not going away. For the first time, Ukraine has crossed into Russian territory over the last week. We are recording this on August 15th, 2024. Okay, and so just in the last week, Zelensky and Ukraine moved into Russian territory for the first time. That's going to be met with retaliation. This thing's not ending anytime soon. I remember when Putin first attacked Ukraine, and the NATO response was, "Well, we're going to sanction him, and this will all blow over in 2 months." That was two plus years ago. It's not blowing over. It's going to continue. And sides are being drawn. China is teaming with Russia. Iran. It's almost a new kind of axis. In World War II, it was the Axis powers, which was Hitler, Mussolini in Italy, and Japan. Okay, versus the Allies, UK, US, and Russia. Okay, today that axis is kind of lining up. You got NATO on one side, and you've kind of got China, Russia, and Iran. They're not all together in one country yet, but you see them forming the alliances. Okay, I've got a friend. And on top of that, we've got the Israel and Hamas situation, which that has biblical ramifications as well. Okay, I've got a friend who, when Hamas attacked Israel, he went ahead and filled in all the paperwork to join the Israel army. He's Jewish, and he wanted to go there and do something, okay? And so he went over there for a few months. He came back for a couple months, and he's going to go back over there again. And so he was at my house on the 4th of July week. I have my friends up for a week then. And I was drilling him for questions about what he saw over there. And he said, "Brian, we're in the Gaza Strip some, but most of our stuff is up near the Lebanon, near the north border, because that's where the long war is going to be. Israel is not, I know the news media is saying Biden's trying to get a peace treaty there. Israel's not stopping, and Iran is not stopping. That war's not going to end, okay, until someone wins. Same with Russia and Putin. We are in World War III. The only thing necessary is some sort of bombing, whether it's us or whether it's a bombing of America or China, somewhere in there, okay? It's clear. Let's look at these big events these players are making. If it's a world war, okay, then the people should be lining up and beginning to make moves. And they really are, okay? Iran attacking Israel, that's a move. That's happening. Iran just came out in the last 2 weeks saying they are going to make a very big attack on Israel. And they're not hiding it, okay? This is going down. China is moving behind the scenes. Putin and Ukraine, they're making their moves. China's been helping fund some of that. We're helping to fund Ukraine. So the battle lines are being drawn. But then there's stuff happening even here in the U.S. About 8 months ago, I was on the phone with someone, 6 or 8 months ago, I was on the phone with someone who lives right outside of Detroit, right near Lake Michigan. And we were talking about a loan, and he goes, Brian, I can't not tell you this. This just happened yesterday, and I can't believe it. And I know it's going to surprise you, but in my town yesterday, enrolled 4 buses, and off of those 4 buses came 100, at least 100, military age Chinese men, both speaking fluent English and Chinese. They were carted up there from the Mexican border. So as he shared that with me, eyewitness account. This isn't an AI calculated thing on the far right. This isn't anything crazy. This is an eyewitness account of what happened in his town. 2 months later, I heard similar report outside of Chicago, okay? But the thing that I thought about was this. How did they get in? And then how did they get from the Mexico border up to outside of Detroit? They weren't Chinese buses. They were bussed up by the American government, okay? And that sounds almost, for some people, how could that be? How could our government move? This wasn't a bunch of Mexicans coming off the thing. This wasn't women and children. This was just 100 military age Chinese men. Only people. They had to be coordinated to get all of those people into those buses, and they had to be shipped up specifically to that area, okay? This is a brunt upon us. They to take our enemy and position them, and for our government to be involved in that, is evil. And you may say, well, why are they doing that? What's their motive? What's their motivation? I don't know, man. Evil is evil. Why do people do bad things? I mean, evil is evil. But you can't shut your eyes and say, oh no, it's not happening. This is happening. It's an eyewitness account. My bookkeeper, Leah, was on vacation in Florida, and she all of a sudden had seizures on the beach, and they had to rush her to the hospital, and they'd spent the last 4 days of their thing in the hospital being with all the tests and everything. What they found was there was fentanyl in her body, okay? But she doesn't smoke any drugs or do any sort of drugs, so how did it get there? The doctors couldn't explain it. They're like, maybe someone rolled a cook rolled a joint that had it on there and didn't wash his hands and messed with something. They couldn't explain how, okay? Until that point, I had heard about the fentanyl problem and how bad it was, but it didn't hit home because I didn't know anybody. I don't know anyone doing drugs and I don't, you know, but now this was my bookkeeper and she wasn't doing anything. She was just eating at a restaurant, drinking at a restaurant. And so now it got real. So I looked up, what is fentanyl? You know, fentanyl is a legal drug. It is legal, but it's 100 times more powerful than morphine, and it has to be administered very carefully in very small doses, et cetera. Too much, and it can kill a person, okay? And the number one maker of illegal fentanyl in the world, the major supplier to the entire world of illegal fentanyl is China, okay? So now you're looking at it and you're saying, it's coming in. And the story I had heard about fentanyl, and that's I'm sure what you had heard and everything else, was that it's being done by drug dealers, you know, that are putting it into the drugs. But again, when you put your critical thinking hat on, drug dealers may have to kill people as part of their job, but they're in it for the money. they're certainly not going to kill their clients. That doesn't make sense, right? You're not in there to kill your clients. So somebody else must be doing it, okay? Somebody else must be bringing this fentanyl in and putting it into the supply, okay? That someone is either China with the help of the U.S. government or the U.S. government, one of the two, but they're the only ones that are strong enough, more powerful enough, are able to really get that stuff in illegally, okay? And so when you start looking at that, you say, wow, that's kind of scary. China can get stuff into the interior of our country, drugs that are very strong and powerful. But wait, I had also heard that Chinese are buying up a lot of the farmland, okay? And so I reached out to a buddy of mine. He's my best friend, Nick, and his family are long-term farmers up in Iowa. And so they've got farms, and they've talked to a lot of people, and they affirmed, yes, the Chinese are buying up lots of farmland in our interior. So now you've got an enemy, okay? From eyewitness accounts, this isn't the far right, this isn't a conspiracy theory. They have bought up property, farms. They are the maker of illegal fentanyl, and they are bringing it into this country. This is all happening right now. This is factual stuff. Now, when you put this together into a type of how something can happen in an attack on America, understand, back in the day, there was something called the force multiplier effect. This is a strategic term, an army term, and what it means is you don't just attack by land. You attack by land, by sea, by air, so you're hitting them with multiple things, and it's overwhelming, okay? That was back in World War II days, okay? Today, you hit them with biochemical, electric, you know, cyber terrorism, etc. So imagine, they've got access to our food supply through the farms they already own, and they've got access to the fentanyl, so they can poison that. They can bring down our security systems. We saw the CrowdStrike thing and what that could do, okay? It's not hard for that to potentially happen, right? They can knock out an electrical grid. This is happening. All of these things have happened in small things, just uncoordinated. But in Texas, there was an ice storm that knocked out the entire electrical grid in a portion of Texas for 3 weeks, okay? So all of these things can happen. But if they all begin to happen together, if the word go says, and there's the poisoning, and there's the electric grid, and there's the security being shut off, and then these interior cells of militia-age men that are now planted in our cities, okay, all of a sudden start bombing. There's Russian subs that have moved into the Cuba waters, and they have nuclears, and they have missiles, and they're only 90 miles away from the U.S. Now, Kennedy wouldn't have allowed that. He didn't allow that, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Reagan wouldn't allow that, but we've allowed it now. They are positioned in a place where they can attack. So now you've got all of that happening. They're flying practice flights over Alaska. Russia and Chinese together running practice flights. They're teaming up together. And then finally, financially. So you're hitting in all these things, and then our system is built on borrowing money, okay? How that works is we print money, but we have to sell that money as bonds. Okay, the Federal Reserve sells that money as bonds, okay? If the whole world dumps our bonds all at once and there's a run, okay, we can't borrow anymore. People say, no, Brian, we just keep printing. It doesn't work like that, okay? When all of this happens together, you've got chaos, okay? And God, I hope I'm wrong, man. I do. I hope I'm wrong. I don't want this to be true, okay? But I'm also not naive enough to think it's not possible when each one of these things has kind of already happened in isolated situations and it just needs to be coordinated, okay? It is possible. China, Russia, and Iran combined have more money. Iran has more money than we do. We're actually broke, we're bankrupt, but that's besides the point. They have more foot soldiers. China has 10 times more foot soldiers than we do, okay? And combined, they have just as many nukes and weapons, all right? It's very risky to attack us. And it might be safer or better for them, for China to attack Taiwan first and have us, you know, siphoning off more stuff over to there so that we're now spread out, funneling money to Ukraine and weapons to Ukraine, funneling money and weapons to Israel, and funneling money and weapons over to the Far East. That would be maybe the smarter play. But if there's a civil war or something like that in America, which we're very close to, that could be something that actually would give them the reason, all the reason they need to attack us, okay? I read a book. This is an excellent book by Ray Dalio. He did so much analysis in this book. It's incredible. And what he did was he reviewed, it's called The Principles for Dealing with the Changing World Order. And what he did was he analyzed all the rise and falls of all the empires, including Ming Dynasty, you know, not just in America or the UK, every dynasty over the last 500 years, okay? And what he found was there are six stages to the rise and fall of every empire, okay? First stage, it becomes a nation. Then stage two, the systems, they get implemented. The bureaucracy is built, the resource allocation. Step three is peace and prosperity, a time of peace and prosperity. Stage four, out of that peace and prosperity, people always go to excesses and you get excess. Stage four is excesses in spending, in debt, in the government debt, and in the gap beginning to widen between the haves and the have-nots. Stage five is where these things become almost to the point of civil war. The gap between the haves and the have-nots are great. Sides are being drawn to where it's not just okay to debate. You literally have to win. Your side has to win almost at all costs. That's when you're on the step of stage six, which is civil war. We are in stage five, late stage five in America, okay? Listen to the symptoms, all right? This is right out of this book. I just want to share with you some of these symptoms and see if you see this in America today, okay? He says, the classic toxic mix of forces that brings about big internal conflict consists of the country and the people in the country being in bad financial shape, e.g. having big debts and non-debt obligations. Our government is hopelessly behind. We bring in $5 trillion, but we spend $7 trillion. We're short $2 trillion every year, and we can't pay that without borrowing. So we are broke. Okay, that's big, bad debt. Large income, wealth, and value gaps. We have large income, wealth, and value gaps within the entity. And then the third thing is a severe negative economic shock. That's the only thing that hasn't happened yet. But I think that's coming soon, and I'll share that in a minute. He goes on, a classic marker of being in stage five and a leading indicator of the loss of borrowing and spending power, which is one of the triggers for going into stage six, is that the government has large deficits that are creating more debt to be sold than buyers other than the government's own central bank are willing to pay. This actually happened in right after COVID. Okay, if you remember, COVID went down and the Federal Reserve had to begin to buy treasuries. They bought $80 billion of treasuries every month for about 20 months, somewhere in that time frame. It was over a year, every single month, because they couldn't sell enough treasuries to foreign borrowers and stuff to fund what we do here in America, okay? And now it's recovered, et cetera, but that was a small indicator of what could happen down the road. Another big marker in late stage five is out of the disorder and discontent come leaders who have strong personalities, are anti-elitist, and claim to fight for the common man. They're called populists. Populism is a political and social phenomenon that appeals to ordinary people who feel that their concerns are not being addressed by the elites. It typically develops when there are wealth and opportunity gaps, perceived cultural threats from those with different values, both inside and outside the country, and establishment elites in positions of power who are not working effectively for most people. The rise of Donald Trump, he's a populist, it was facilitated by the fact that there are these big gaps, and because the people don't feel like the elites are they're not feeling like they're getting ahead. That is when these things happen. A classic marker of stage five that increases in stage six is the demonization of those in other classes, which typically produces one or more scapegoats. This leads to a drive to exclude, imprison, or destroy them, which is what happens in stage six. And we're seeing that now. The far right thinks the far left is evil, and the far left thinks it's absolutely abominable if Trump were to get in. So you've got this dynamic here where it's almost like the two sides hate each other to the point where families are being spread apart. We are seeing this. This is happening in America. Another marker of late stage five, the loss of truth in the public domain. Not knowing what's true because of distortions in the media and propaganda increases as people become more polarized, emotionally and politically motivated. In stage five, those who are fighting typically work with those in the media to manipulate people's emotions to gain support and to destroy the opposition. Is that or is that not what we're seeing in America, right? You have one side that sells one thing, one side that sells the other. Another marker, rule following fades and raw fighting begins. Now this is over many, many different rise and falls of empires over the last 500 years, but they're describing America. This happens, it's happened before, and it's gonna happen again. It's just happening to us. And you know, I don't like it to be that way, but it's okay. You know, Rome went down, and there's still a Rome, Italy today. We're not gonna be off the map. It's just we're not gonna be the world power when all of this is done in 2030. And it seems like it's going that way. And you know, that's not me saying anything other than, this is obvious, guys. This stuff is happening, okay? When the causes that people are passionately behind are more important to them than the system for making decisions, the system is in jeopardy. Rules and laws work only when they are crystal clear and most people value working within them enough that they are willing to compromise in order to make them work. When winning becomes the only thing that matters, unethical fighting becomes progressively more forceful in self-reinforcing ways. When everyone has causes that they are fighting for and no one can agree on anything, the system is on the brink of civil war and revolution. I mean, that is just like America in a snapshot, okay? The three keys were government deficits, large income and wealth gaps, and the last piece is this severe economic shock, okay? We are on the brink of civil war in this country. It can go down in a multitude of ways. It can be another assassination on Trump that causes it. It can be a narrow loss by Trump that causes it. It can be any number of things that will cause it. And if you're a China, Russia, Iran, and you're looking at this world stage, another thing, I travel a lot, right? So I was in France, you know, a couple months ago. And when I travel, I go into the cafes, I go into the places, and I just talk to people, and I ask them questions. What do you think about America? We're not on the world stage in a respectability level. They respect our capitalism and the fact that we have money, but they don't respect our political system, and they think it's kind of a joke. That's not me saying that. That's people in the Cayman Islands, to France, to everywhere I've been in the last year, okay? And most Americans think it's insane as well. I mean, it really is. So you're them. Do you attack while you have a lame duck leader? Someone who's the president, but his own party isn't even allowing him to run again, and he's kind of been pushed to the side, and all the focus is now and there? Or do you wait until a civil war breaks out and then you attack? Either of those things can happen, okay? But we're on the brink of it right now. Listen, America's going down, man, and everything's in place, okay? One of the things he talked about in here, I'm going to read it because I think it's palpable. It's only when the forces that produce internal disorder, this crisis that we're about to have, this civil war, okay, and instability align that the external challenge with an external challenge that the entire world order can change. When all these forces line up, indebtedness, civil war revolution at home, war abroad, and a loss of faith in the currency, a change in the world order is typically at hand. Okay? We have been, World War II marked the beginning of us being the world order, the lead person in the world order. World War II ushered that in. It was England prior to that, but they went bankrupt in that war because they were fighting it on all sides and they were the big ones. We're now in that position and we've gone broke, and now the Axis are lining up against us, okay? It's all aligned. All that's needed is a financial crisis. That's the only thing needed to topple this thing into the type of civil war and where the opponents can have the best opportunity to attack. And I believe that's about to happen, and I believe that's an inside job as well, okay? So the story that's being fed in the media and the talking heads on CNBC is that inflation is coming down, that we've got a soft landing, that AI is creating all this new wealth, okay? And it's gonna keep that stock market rallying forever, and it's all gonna be okay. That's what's being pulled from that's what's being pushed from the pulpits of the economic Wall Street, et cetera, because they have to believe that, okay? And they have to sell you on that so that you keep buying the stocks and they can keep making money, okay? It's absolutely critical, but it's absolutely not true. okay? And this is how subtle the weaving of the media is, okay? Last month, the CPI report came out and the inflation in July, and the inflation was up 2.98%, okay? From that point on, over the next few weeks, all the talking heads from CNBC to everywhere else was spinning how inflation's coming down, okay? And within a few weeks, as I'm out at functions, out at training sessions, and I'm going to networking things, everywhere I'm hearing, hey, inflation's coming down, okay? It only took a couple weeks for everyone to be pushing the same line as what they're hearing on the news every day, okay? But it's not. The CPI going up 2.98% means that it is increasing at 2.98%. That's not a decrease, that's an increase, okay? The rate of that increase is coming down. It was increasing at 6% a year ago, now it's increasing at basically 3%, okay? But it's still increasing. If the prices are up here, and that's too high for middle America and down, then another 3% doesn't make it easier on them. It still makes it too high. Deflation is when the inflation comes down and goes negative, okay? And that's nowhere close to happening. Not only that, the only way deflation can happen is if there's a recession or a crash, okay? And that's where there'd be a flight to quality, being the US Treasury bonds. Now, into this comes the Federal Reserve, okay? The only way to lower this is a correction. The Federal Reserve lost $113 billion last year, the largest loss they've ever had, okay? JP Morgan made $29 billion. The Federal Reserve, who's the bank of banks that banks those guys, lost $113 billion. How? Okay, because back, remember all those bonds they bought during the post-COVID crisis, $80 billion every month. They were bought when the rates were 2%. So bond prices work inversely. So when the rates are low, the bond price is very high. And when the rates are higher, like now, the price is very low. So they were buying them when the rates were low and the price was high. They're selling them when the rates are high and the price is low. So they're losing money. If you buy high and sell low, you're losing money, okay? That's what's happening. That's how they're losing money. The only way they can stop losing money and get this stuff off the books and keep funding everything is to get the rates back down to 2%. The only way they can do that is if they cause a recession or a crash. Now, they're not gonna say that's what they're gonna do. That's not what the talking heads in the media are pushing. But they rose the rates incredibly fast. They're holding on to lowering them. And the markets have been rallying in the last month because of this inflation story, that inflation's coming down. But inflation's still up, right? It's up to, the CPI just came out for, what month are we in, August? For July, yesterday, and it was up 2.9%. That's still up. So inflation's not coming down. It's just increasing less, but it's still increasing. Prices are still going up. And that's by the government figures, whether you can believe those or not. Okay, so what we've got here is a situation where the only way they can do it is engineer. Now, they don't want to be blamed for it. They're just going to make sure that they hold back, you know, as long as they can until the thing crashes itself. And then they can lower stuff quickly and act positively at that point. When it's all said and done, okay, their goal will be to crash it. I see this happening over the next 6 months. I see this happening with the attacks, whether it's in Asia, just an attack by China on Taiwan, or whether it's an actual attack even of us. I see that happening over the next 6 months. And I hope I'm wrong, man. I hope I'm wrong. But what we've got to understand is this. The real story behind it all is spiritual, okay? There's a spiritual battle going on between good and evil, and it's real and it's out there, all right? This book is real, and there's a real end to everything as well. And all of this is actually playing into a very biblical end times type of scenario. And the next four videos that we will do are gonna be revolving around that. There are gonna be three videos where we're gonna lay out exactly how this looks over the next, you know, 8-9 years. And then we'll have a final video where we're gonna talk about how should we live now? If this is accurate and if this is true, how do we live now, okay? But But I beg you to at least think on these things that I've shared, okay? You can choose not to believe it. You can choose not to listen to it. You can choose to wait and see if it actually happens. Just be ready for it, okay? There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to change it. You've got one vote. That's all you can do. There's nothing you or I can do to change it, okay? But you can be mentally ready just in case. And that's really all I'm trying to do with this particular video is to say, guys, there's stuff here that's bad and it's about to go down. And it's not a right-wing thing or a left-wing thing. It's a government thing and a people thing. And we're the people. And it's about to hurt. And I hope I'm wrong. But it looks like to me, by everything I'm seeing, that it's all lining up almost as if it was planned. And it may have been. So until my next video, take care. God bless. Be good.